All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. It is April the 22nd, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We are slowly slipping into summer, my favorite time of the year. Spring has been fantastic, but man, I do love summer. And it feels like summer out today. It's definitely warm. It's beautiful. Beautiful day yesterday. I was off yesterday. Went up to visit my father and spent some time with him. But yesterday was Monday. I was off and went to do some ocean paddling. Getting back into the ocean paddling finally. Getting that ramped up. Pulled the new boats out. Or I shouldn't say new boats. Summer boats. It's comical, our club. You know, when I first joined this club, we had a nice setup. We used to keep the boats down at the fishing pier, down at the state park, and it was just beautiful. But, you know, things happen and people change, and now we have a boat here and a boat there, and it's really kind of chaotic. But a buddy in the club, him and his wife have a house down here in Long Neck, and they said we could bring a boat down there and store it. So we took a boat down and took it out paddling yesterday. It was freaking windy, and it was pretty freaking cold out there on the water. So not quite summery out there, but still had a great time. I am dealing with some, I'm always dealing with something, right? I apologize, but, back in February when I got sick and I had that cough and I was, man, I pulled something. I have pain, and it's in my left side of my chest and my rib up on top, sort of where my pectoral connects to all that stuff. And it's been bugging me, and it's been getting worse. And I went paddling yesterday, and it did not help. And so finally I went to the doctor yesterday, and he's like, it looks like you have a cracked rib, and it looks like you've strained where the pectoral muscle connects to it. And the only solution is to stop doing whatever it is you're doing, which is tough. You know, that's what I enjoy doing. So I've got to figure out how I was supposed to paddle yesterday. I took myself off the boat. I need to rest up a little bit because it definitely freaking hurts, man. And I don't know, but I'm dealing with that. It actually feels a little bit better today. Isn't it funny, like when you go to the doctor and then finally it starts feeling better? I mean, for 3 weeks, I'm like, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not going to do it. Finally, I said, I'll go. And now it feels a little better. So maybe it was, I don't know, maybe some mental part played in that. But getting back into summer stuff feels good. Very lazy in the winter. So it's easy for me to get sort of down on myself and, whatever that looks like. So when this time of year comes about, I've been walking every day, 2.2 miles. I'm doing some paddling. I've been doing my squats. And so I feel like I'm participating. And for that, I feel like it's a lot better. And I'm starting to get rid of that freaking that seasonal depression, right?
Can you live with yourself when you think of what?
chin for assault. Skid Row. Waste of time. Is it waste of time? I don't know. You know, one of the things I remember, you know, when I came back to the program, started over, right? Got my fresh new 24-hour coin. And, you know, one of the first things that came to my mind is that I threw all of my time away. You know, I had almost 5 years and, you know, picked up. And then, you know, struggled, got back in, was sober 2 more years, and then changed my sobriety date because of pain pills. And, but, you know, the first thing I, self-centered side of me was like, oh, we just threw all that away. Wasted time. And it isn't. It's not wasted time. It is very important time. It's experience. You know, there is no perfect path. If it looks perfect, I question it anyway. Right? I've talked about the guy that's like, yeah, he's got 34 years, right? 34 years. He'll tell you the date. But for some reason, he also has to have like this asterisk comment where he says that 10 of those years were dry. And I'm like, well, why didn't you fucking start over? Right? Why don't you say that you weren't sober and why don't you pick up a new coin? Oh, no, no. Nope, the coin's more important. But the reality is it's not what's most important. It's the freaking experience and the time and learning. You know, I've been working with a couple guys. I sponsor 3 guys now. 1 guy disappeared. Figures. I could see him slowly departing anyway. But, you know, and listen, we did some work, right? It wasn't for nothing. It's just part of that freaking journey. But, you know, I'm working with a couple of guys now. Really young, really new. I think, one guy just got six months. One just got 3 months. I don't know. Months. We're into the, no one's celebrated in a year. That's for sure. And, we meet on Sunday mornings. They come over and we read in my office and, you know, part of the problem with being early on, is that, you know, there's experience, right? We have to experience a lot of this stuff. I hear people that talk about doing the steps right away and getting it out of the way. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe it's necessary. I think we should take our time. And but the problem is there's nothing else to read. So we did start reading the 4-step a couple weeks ago. One of the guys couldn't make it this week because of Easter. I sort of felt like that was kind of weird. We would drink on Easter, but never, whatever. We want to keep him in here. We don't want to, you know, upset him and send him out the door. So my other friend came over and we just actually hung out. There wasn't really anything to do. And I don't particularly want to move forward and read anything else until we're all together. So we actually went to the grocery store, but he was talking to me because, you know, we did read and, you know, we looked up some stuff and I said, you know, you can start working on resentments. You can start just, you know, if you want to look at something, you know, write down if you have a resentment. Anything that smells or looks like a resentment, write it down and we can always talk about it. And of course, you know, then he calls, he's like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And, you know, I talked to the other guy and he's like, I got a piece of paper and I'm writing stuff down, but I don't know if I'm doing it right. And I, you know. The problem is there's not enough experience, right? There's just, and when it becomes that way, right? When it becomes something we don't do right, when it starts to have fear come in, it's right. It's defeating the purpose of the 4-step, right? I said, there are so many things that we can do, right? There's so much work in the first 3 steps that people are so freaking excited or so determined to get better and show everybody to get right to that 4th and 5th or do all of them, that we don't pay attention to a lot of the little things that we do. I know when I came into this program, I was a fucking mess, right? Just all my nuances, all the things, my character defects, all of it was just a mess. And, you know, the first step we admit, finally, we were admitting, okay, I am an alcoholic, right? Now, even that one, I've, you know, talked many times, you know, are we admitting we're an alcoholic or are we admitting we get caught too much? I don't know. We have to sit down and figure that out. But when I finally sat down and said, listen, I'm powerless over alcohol. If I put alcohol in my mouth, I lose the power. I'm powerless. I'm off on a journey. And But until I recognized that, I just got caught too much, right? And so really trying to clearly understand the true meaning of the first step. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. The unmanageability is really easy to notice. It's all around us. People are telling us all the time, right? But that real, that mysterious thing that happens when alcohol goes in my mouth and I can't stop, that's spiritual. That's an attack, a spiritual malady. But just understanding that, I mean, you know, living like that, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not going to say this generation, but there's just people that always seem to see, they always seem to have something moving forward. Something has to be happening. And unfortunately for recovery, there's parts of recovery, there's nothing happening. Right? We're just not drinking and doing the best we can. It is not full of excitement all the time. In fact, it's pretty much the opposite. It's sort of designed that way. But, you know, but working on the first step and then starting to have that trust in God. How does that even start, right? How do we even start doing that? You know, I shared about how I used to behave around my first sponsor, Matt, or he was my second sponsor, Matt. And, you know, when I was around him, I walked different. I talked different. I kept my mouth shut. I drove with a seatbelt and my hands at 10 and 2. I mean, I really wanted him to think that I was better, or at least being better, or whatever you want to call it. And but as soon as he wasn't around, you know, I'd revert back into some of my old, you know, and driving without a seatbelt, with the music too loud, you know, these are all just the grassroots little shit we break. You know, these are all, you know, they could be the beginning of a character defect. They could be the end. I don't know. But, you know, there's so many of them. And I have become so used to that life, right? That life of fear and worry and getting caught and being in trouble and, you know, planning out my apology and planning out how I was going to save my ass out of this one more situation. You know, that's how I lived. And so just starting to, you know, change my behavior, right? And, you know, whether you know, because today, you know, I sort of live like, you know, God is watching me all the time. And because God is watching me all the time. And when I do things today, right, that aren't really what we've agreed on, you know, I feel it. You know, is it God sticking his finger in my rib? Maybe, right? Is it God, you know, hitting me with that intuition? Probably. It's definitely not a voice, but it's something that I've become used to. You know, when I was a kid, especially, you know, as a teenager, getting involved in the partying scene and sneaking out and buying beer and pawning my stuff and whatever the shit I had to do, every one of those decisions was followed by a feeling that I chose to ignore. Right? I mean, I was raised with rules, right? My parents were two great people. My dad was military. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Great, just great people, knew right from wrong. I was raised to know right from wrong, but when it came to certain things, I chose to do the wrong thing and just lived, you know. I'm sure the first time I did it, I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Holy cow. But that fades. You know, that fear and worry fade away, and I became used to living like that. You know, sneaking out, like, if I was to do anything today, I'd be like, oh my God, I hope I don't get caught. Oh my God, Jesus Christ. I would be so stressed out. But back in those days, man, we used to sneak out the freaking window and then get into my parents' car, and we would put it into neutral, and we would push it down the driveway, and we would roll that thing down the driveway and then start it, and then we'd joyride in the thing all night. And I'm talking not for 5 minutes, but like for an hour or 2 hours, throwing rocks at mailboxes. One rock bounced off a mailbox, busted out the back window of the damn car. We're like, oh my God, how funny. Didn't even worry, right? Anything about worrying had left. Like, I stopped worrying. I was so consumed in self that I just didn't worry about it anymore. And so when I came into the program, just, you know, trying to identify the feelings, right? Because for so long, I ignored my hopefully my good intuitions, right? And I followed the bad ones. And today, you know, I have to live the exact opposite of that. And, you know, so it's, you know, getting used to doing new feelings. I know when I first came in and I would do something good, I really felt like I was doing some awesome shit. And I was really just, like I've said in the past, man, it's a lot of normal. It's a lot of work to be normal. Right. But I came into the program and I do one good thing and I'm like, look at me. Look at me. And so that's something to get used to, right? I'm not going around saying, man, I feel like I'm doing so many good things. I'm having trouble getting used to the fact that I'm really excited about my new behavior, right? It's hard to pass that message on. So I just sort of live in it, just like I'd been living in all the bad behavior. And so there's so many little things to start understanding before we even get to the fourth step, right? The third step is such a big deal. You know, I have a friend of mine who's going through a divorce and, you know, he's in recovery and I'm sort of working with him. But, you know, he's like, you know, my bitch wife stopped doing it. And I go, you need to stop saying that. I don't care if she's your bitch wife. You need to stop saying that because you look like an asshole. It's your wife, my ex-wife, my ex-partner, but it's not my bitch wife because you're just fucking, and besides the fact that all of this divorce and everything that's going on is your own fucking fault. Right? He's one of these guys that got drunk, just, you know, wrecked his family, wrecked his relationship, and then, you know, wants to blame his bitch wife when she leaves you. So learning about accountability and the role we played in things is another big one. But we can make better choices, right? You can, even though there's part of you, this old behavior that wants to call your ex-wife that's leaving you because you drink too much, your bitch wife, nobody wants to hear that. So in the third step, we make better choices. We turn our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding, right? Because now we want to start being better. So from this point on, we will not be calling your ex-wife your bitch wife. It's my ex-wife. And so the next time you do decide to call your bitch wife, you'll start to recognize when God says, we're not doing that anymore. And you feel it. You know, this is about reopening the relationship, a new relationship. I didn't have this relationship prior to coming into this program with my higher power. I had a relationship with the devil. And so I had to be introduced to God. And the best way to do that is to start doing good things. The opposite of the bad things that we used to still do. Right, we need to start being better. You know, because, you know, his bitch wife still has his son. It's still his mother. Right? You have to be respectful. And so, you know, I talked about those guys, and I'm like, listen, man, don't even worry about this fourth step. You know, if you want to find out about resentments, write them down. You know, we can definitely take a look at it. But, you know, these steps, I feel like, I remember when someone asked me about God, and I was like, you know, what an interesting journey I've had with God. And they said, well, how do you find God? And I said, you have to stop searching for God. Because the only thing that searches for God is self. Right? And so I always believed God found me. All of the years of searching for God, and I ended up having to wait till God found me. I had to get out of the way. And unfortunately, that's really how these steps work. We have got to get out of the way of ourselves. Right? When we come into the program, we know we get in trouble. We know we get caught. We know we cause a lot of problems. It's obvious. We have a record. We're maybe homeless. We have lost everything. Right? It's clear that we're a problem. Right? But it isn't, you know, and as weird as it was when I came in, as obvious as it was that I had a problem, you know, it would be a few years before I would realize that I literally can't drink alcohol. You know, I thought I just couldn't drink because I would get caught and do stupid things, but literally the amount of consumption that happens to me is just freaking crazy. And then the second step of the God part, right? Now we're just starting to introduce what the feelings are. And we start learning it through the third step, and we can make better choices, right? You know, it's funny when everyone comes into the program and we're at a meeting, right? Everybody's on our best behavior. You know, if I was just to say, hey, by what I've seen for that hour, it looks like everyone's doing really well. But it's the alone time. It's the private time. You know, it's away from the group, right? Good orderly direction. Rely on the group. You know, the group gives you 1 hour. You still got 23 other hours. You have to, who are you relying on then? I rely on the group. That's who I rely on. Yeah, for what, an hour? No, we have to start learning, especially the obvious ones, like just the blatant ones, kicking the dog, you know, calling your ex-wife a bitch, whatever it is that we do that's just, you know, flipping people off, swerving at people, road rage, being rude in the line, you know, whatever these obvious ones are, these real blatant, we can fix them, right? We can fix them. I remember when I first got sober, all of a sudden I had this compassion for squirrels. I don't know why that was. I don't know what that was about. I just remember I got sober, and all of a sudden I would kill the family trying to swerve to miss a fucking squirrel. Where for all my life up to that point, I just run over it. Like, all of a sudden, I want to be better. Not that, you know, we shouldn't purposely try to run over a squirrel, but I wouldn't even flinch, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, I get better and emotions come back and the devil's out and I start feeling again. And all of a sudden I've become very compassionate about the freaking squirrel. And so I don't know what that looks like, but when we start feeling better, we start having emotions. We start caring again. And then when we start doing that long enough, when we don't do it, you know, and I've shared 1,000 times about the shopping cart. But, you know, like, I couldn't imagine leaving. Like, today, before I came to the program, not a problem leaving that shopping cart between the cars. Not even. I wouldn't bat an eye at it. And then I came to the program, and I was taught, you know, do the next right thing. Put the shopping cart away. Put your clothes away. You know, all of the shit that we don't do. And we know, if you're listening, you know the things we don't do, right? If it's even just cleaning the toothpaste out of your bowl, out of your sink, right? I wouldn't do that. Now today, I make sure when I'm done brushing my teeth, my bowl's nice and clean. Do I have to? No, but it's all in order. I like to keep everything in order today. But wouldn't bat it an eye back in the day. But today, you know, if I left a shopping cart between the cars, I would feel terrible. I wouldn't even do it. I wouldn't even do it. I feel terrible, right? And to me, that's God trying to keep me in the pocket. But I would, you know, forever, I would ignore that. I'd be like, oh, you want to ditch school, smoke weed, steal the car, and hang out at my girlfriend's house all day? Any intuition that would come into my life being like, man, that's a bad idea. I'd be like, ignore. Shut the door. And, you know, today. But, you know, so these are the things we can start working on. So, the whole story from this is just, you know, part of me wants to try to jump into the fourth step because I feel like that's what everybody says we should do, but I don't believe that. Like, God has to find us, the fourth step has to find us. You know, we start understanding, why do I do that? You know, ego, pride, those are usually the big ones, right? You know, and I always share the Mr. Jones story. And Mr. Jones was the story that really gave me sort of a look into what that world might look like and what world I've sort of lived in, because it was very, I related to it because, you know, I was always the guy that was jealous and hated. You know, if someone was better and had a better house or a better car or a prettier girlfriend, fuck them. Well, why? I don't know, but fuck them. You know, I don't care. I don't like that guy. And, but the fourth step allows us to start figuring out why, right? But it's really about being accountable. But there's so many other things that I feel we need to be accountable for. First, we just have to start understanding about being accountable, right? You know, like my one friend that I'm sponsoring, he talked to somebody and they told him, you know, I don't know what they told him, but he's like, I realized that it's all my fault. I'm like, yes, everything is your fault. It's a good position to take. Is it always all our fault? Probably not. But for the most part, you know, I always say if my feet were there, I played a role. But that's about being accountable because there are people that will fight you tooth and nail that they are not the reason. This is somebody else's fault. And it's like, yeah, but it isn't. It's really yours. And they just don't want to hear that. Well, it's becoming willing to hear that. Right? And so there's just so much, to do in the fourth step. You know, if you're on the third step, I don't know if you're even, what are you doing? But, you know, what is it that you do that you wish you didn't do? And what is it that you do that you can make an effort to stop doing and feel better about it? And then after you stop doing it and feeling better about it, sticking with it, right? Don't do it again. Because when that feeling comes back, that's like, you shouldn't have done that. Maybe we start understanding that that's maybe God. So, yeah, we'll work on the fourth step, but I'm not going to go jumping into it just because, you know, we don't have anything to read. We can always find something to read, but there is so much in the third step to me, you know, just making better choices that are reflected in our life. I'd made so many bad decisions that have reflected in my life. I'm going to start making some good ones and see how that starts working. And but we're still balancing it all, right? We're still staying centered on the being, because that's, you know, when we start feeling better, right, then those memories fade, right? The memories of being such a bad person and bad behavior and the embarrassment of whatever it is we did that brought us in here, because we did something. Right? We did something. And, fighting that, because then all of a sudden we start feeling better and then we're like, maybe I can drink again. And so it's just constantly juggling a lot of balls in the air. But that's, you know, that's what we have sponsors for, to sort of guide us and help us. And all right, well, let's read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do, hang out. Daily reflections. Dun, dun, dun. How much time do we have? What's the time? Time. Oh, perfect. New soil, new roots, April 22nd. Moments of perception can build into a lifetime of spiritual serenity. Moments of perception can build into a lifetime of spiritual serenity. As I have excellent reason to know, roots of reality supplanting the neurotic underbrush will hold fast despite the high winds and of the forces which would destroy us or which we would use to destroy ourselves. All right, let me read that again. Moments of perception can build into a lifetime of spiritual serenity. As I have excellent reason to know, roots of reality supplanting the neurotic underbrush will hold fast despite the high winds of the forces which would destroy us or which we would use to destroy ourselves. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of, I feel like kind of that's what I was just sort of talking about. You know, it really takes, it's amazing when we become accountable and become willing to take responsibility for the situations, right? Because, you know, then we stop becoming a victim of them. And when we stop becoming a victim, that means we become accountable and that we decide that we can fix it. You know, we have to become, you know, accountable, we recognize it, we make our amends, and then we don't do it again. And then all of a sudden, we find peace, right, and free of fear. And all of a sudden, we're living this life that is not petrified by bad behavior. It's really, you know, serenity to me is peace, love, and free of fear, right? To be, you know, not tormented by that fear, all right, as Bill sees it. I came to AA green, a seedling quivering with exposed taproots. It was for survival, but it was a beginning. I stretched, developed, twisted, but with the help of others, my spirit eventually burst up from the roots. I was free. I acted, withered, went inside, prayed, acted again, understood anew as one moment of perception struck. Up from my roots, spirit arms lengthened into strong green shoots, high springing servants, stepping skyward. Here on earth, God unconditionally continues the legacy of higher love. My AA life put me on a different footing. My roots grasped a new soil. Yeah. I mean, that's just basically describing, you know, the process of finding becoming honest and accountable, right? And being, you know, working that third step. Every time we make a positive choice in the third step, every time we decide not to call our wife a fucking bitch, we get roots, right? We do get stronger, right? Because, you know, that kind of behavior, there is no roots. You're just flailing around, and that's no place to be. And, yeah. All right, well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share, and I hope you have a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
I thought you'd let it get this far, boy.